Hello and welcome to Destiny, the open door. I am your host, Tammy Dennis Elmas Swab, and I come to you today with our online daily inspiration and journey into the presence. We have a delightful and enchanting message before you today on beloved ascended Master Mother Akasha and how she was able to imbue herself with the planetary scheme and come to Earth and was able to touch each and every individual on this blessed planet with the substance that she emits on a day-to-day basis. So let us get comfortable. You know how I love to get comfortable and enjoy this enchanting message before you today. We do wish to thank you in advance for always supporting our beloved destiny, the open door, as we begin our audio presentation. Introduction. During the personal journey I have had with the masters during these seven sacred weeks, I am concentrating and expounding on the key points to each of their services that they provide to humanity and the kingdom on the earth. In my research, the biggest quest for me is retrieving centuries of old data from resources and other institutions who have had the information hidden in plain sight, only for the student to search through the darkness to find the lighthouse, which is the treasure chest to humanity's innate beliefs. As my journey went too far off lands in the universe, my ability to open my receptive mind to an understanding that was far more greater than I could ever imagine led me to the roads of the less traveled. The students who are on the quest to learn more and have a thirst for knowledge beyond themselves will achieve the ultimate goal of awareness and a higher attainment of knowledge that yesterday they did not know, which is a state of progressiveness. To the students who are in search of the truth, remain valiant and gallant to this work, which will take you to places your mind cannot conceive, and yet, in the stillness of the night, of reading and researching, the light bulb is brightly shining and your aha moments finally comes together in your paper. You have reached the answer to the question of home, of familiar, of longing, all these decades later, the answer is in black and white, and alas, you radiate on the inside with such vibrant colors to know that you have found what you have been looking and seeking for a lifetime of weight. And several continents away, the journey of Akasha is upon us and has awakened us to learn more about ourselves as human beings. Akasha defined as primary substance, the subtlest ethereal essence, which fills the whole of space. All that transpires in an individual's world and all events in the physical universe are recorded in Akasha. These recordings can be read by those with developed soul faculties, as we see here depicted in this Akashic record. The Akashic records are energetic imprints of all experiences, every thought, feeling, word, action, and deed, and all experiences that has ever ensued in time and space. It is an imprint that is established and takes on its own indelible seal of all lifetime experiences and realities throughout lifetimes immemorable. This imprint is an etheric, holographic library of information of all consciousness, human or otherwise, of the past, present, and future potentials. The energy that makes up the Akashic records is of the Creator and therefore made up of love. The information contained in the Akashic records is imprinted upon a substance called Akasha, which is the energy of love that permeates and creates everything in the universe. The Akasha is available everywhere, all the time. Everyone can access information from the Akashic records at any time, and we often do. The flashes of intuition that we have and the ability to know hunches that we get are glimpses into the information that is contained in the Akashic records. Out of the whole of space, there stands Akasha. According to Blavatsky, Buddha Sangyas, or Fo, is alleged by the Tibetan occultists to have taught that there are three eternal things in the universe: the law, nirvana, and space. The Buddhists of the Southern Church claim, on the other hand, that Buddha held only two things as eternal: Akasha and Nirvana. Akasha being the same as Aditi. Aditi is, according to the Rig Veda, the father and mother of all the gods. And Akasha is held by Southern Buddhism as the root of all, whence everything in the universe came out, in obedience to a law of motion inherent in it. And this is the Tibetan space, Thoog, in both being translated space. There is no discrepancy so far, since nirvana, as well as moksha, is a state. Then in both cases, the great Kapilavastu sage unifies the two, as well as the three, into one eternal element, and ends by saying that even that one is a maya to one who is not a dhamma, a perfectly purified soul. In other words, the three eternal things in the universe, the law, nirvana, and space, and the akasha and nirvana, is unified into one eternal element. In space, there is not matter, force, nor spirit, but all that and much more. It is the one element, and that one, the anima mundi, space, akasha, astral light, the root of life, which, in its eternal, ceaseless motion, like the out and in bright breathing of one boundless ocean. I will repeat that. In space, there is not matter, force, nor spirit, but all that and much more. It is the one element, and that one, the anima mundi, space, akasha, astral light, the root of life, which, in its eternal, ceaseless motion, like the out and in breathing of one boundless ocean, evolves, but to reabsorb all that lives and feels and thinks and has its being in it, as said of the universe, it is the combination of a thousand elements, and yet the expression of a single spirit, a chaos to the sense, a cosmos to the reason. Such were the views upon the subject of all the great ancient philosophers, from Manu down to Pythagoras, from Plato to Paul. The one is God. When the dissolution, Pralaya, had arrived, as its term, the great being, Para-Atma or Para-Purusha, the Lord existing through himself, out of whom and through whom all things were and are and will be resolved to emanate from his own substance, the various creatures. The mystic decade of Pythagoras, 1 + 2 + 3 + 4 = 10. The mystic decade of Pythagoras, 1 + 2 + 3 + 4 = 10, is a way of expressing this idea. The one is God. The one is God. The God of Pythagoras, the disciple of the Aryan sages, is no personal God. He taught as a cardinal tenet that there exists a permanent principle of unity beneath all forms, changes, and other phenomena of the universe. The two, matter. The three, combining monad and duad, and partaking of the nature of both, is the phenomenal world, the tetrad, or form of perfection, expresses the emptiness of all. And the decade, or sum of all, involves the entire cosmos. Plato's God is the universal ideation, and Paul saying, out of him, and through him, and in him, all things are, had surely a principle. Never a Jehovah in his profound mind. The key to the Pythagorean dogmas is the key to every great philosophy. It is the general formula of unity and multiplicity, the one evolving the many and pervading the all. It is the archaic doctrine of emanation in a few words. The sound, the color, the number. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. The Supreme Buddha, or Amitabha, they say, at the hour of the creation of man, caused a rosy ray of light to issue from his right eye. The ray emitted a sound and became Padmapani Bodhisattva. Then the deity allowed to stream forth from his left eye a blue ray of light, which becoming incarnate in the two virgins, Dhamma, acquired the power to enlighten the minds of living beings. Amitabha then called the combination, which forthwith took up its abode in man. Om Mani Padme Hum. I am the jewel in the lotus, and in it I will remain. Then Padmapani, the one in the lotus, vowed never to cease working until he had made humanity feel his presence in itself and had thus saved it from the misery of rebirth. He vowed to perform the feat before the end of the kalpa, adding that, in case of failure, he wished that his head should split into numberless fragments. The kalpa closed, but humanity felt him not within its cold, evil heart. Then Padmapani's head split and was shattered into 1,000 fragments. Moved with compassion, the deity reformed the pieces into 10 heads, 3 white and 7 of various colors. And since that day, man has become a perfect number, or 10. In this allegory, the potency of sound, color, and number is so cleverly introduced as to veil the real mysterious and esoteric meaning. It is creatively put together like a fairy tale, but it is a significant with spiritual and divine, physical and magical meaning. From Amitabha, no color, or the white glory, are born the 7 differentiated colors of the prism. The word Om. The word Om, which corresponds to the upper triangle, if pronounced by a very holy and pure man, will draw out or awaken not only the less exalted potencies residing in the planetary spaces and elements, but even his higher self or the Father within him. Pronounced by an averagely good man in the correct way, it will help to strengthen him morally, especially if between 2 ohms he meditates intently upon the Om within him, concentrating all his attention upon the overwhelming glory. But woe to the man who pronounces it after the commission of some far-reaching sin. He will only thereby attract to his own impure photosphere invisible presences and forces which could not otherwise break through the divine envelope. Om is the original of Amen. Now, Amen is not a Hebrew term, but, like the word Hallelujah, was borrowed by the Jews and Greeks from the Chaldees. The latter word is often found repeated in certain magical inscriptions upon cups and urns among the Babylonians and Ninevean relics. Amen does not mean so be it, or verily, but signified in ancient antiquity, almost the same as om. The Jewish Tainim initiates used it for the same reason as the Aryan adepts use om, and with a like success. The numerical value of Amen in Hebrew letters being 91, the same as the value of Yahweh, or male-female, on the terrestrial plane, as invented by the Jews, and now made out to mean Jehovah, but signifying in reality and literally giving being and receiving life. 26 in Adonai, 65 or 91. Both words mean the affirmation of the being or existence of the sexless Lord within us. Esoteric science teaches that every sound in the visible world awakens its corresponding sound in the invisible realms and arouses to action some force or other on the occult side of nature. Moreover, every sound corresponds to a color and a number, a potency, spiritual, psychic, or physical, and to a sensation on some plane. All these find an echo in every one of the so far developed elements, and even on the terrestrial plane, in the lives that swarm in the terrain atmosphere, thus prompting them to action. As already said, the sacred formula of the Far East, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, is the one best calculated to make these correspondential qualities and functions clear to the learner. In the allegory of Padmapani, the jewel or spiritual eagle in the lotus, or the symbol of androgyny, man, the numbers 3, 4, 7, 10, as synthesizing the unit man, are prominent, as I have already said. It is on the thorough knowledge and comprehension of the meaning and potency of these numbers in their various and multi-form combinations, and in their mutual correspondence with sounds or words and colors or rates of motion represented in physical science by vibrations. that the progress of a student in occultism depends. Therefore, we must begin with the first initial word, Om, or Om. Om is a blind. The sentence Om Mani Padme Hum is not a six but a seven syllabled phrase, as the first syllable is double in its right pronunciation and triple in its essence, Om. It represents the forever concealed ancient trione distinction, not from but in the one absolute, and is therefore symbolized by the four, or the tetrakites, in the metaphysical world. It is the unit ray, or Atman. It is the Atman that this highest spirit in man, which in conjunction with Buddhi and Manas is called the upper triad or trinity. For Atman and man, being of an pure essence, the primordial divine fire, or the eternal and universal, that which has stood, stands, and will stand, is of all the planes, the Buddhi, is its vehicle or thought, generated by and generating the Father, in turn, in her turn, and also will. She is that which has stood, stands, and will stand, thus becoming, in conjunction with Manas, male, female, in this sphere only. An example of Akasha. We live in the mist, and we live in the crystal. The mist is the state of thought wherein we begin the thought processes that may or may not eventuate in the crystal. When Judas Iscariot was thinking that he was going to betray Christ, it was still in the mist, the state of thought. But the master reads his thought. The master read his thought and said to him, "That which thou doest, do quickly." And having received the sop, he went out immediately and betrayed him. Now, when he betrayed him, that was crystallization. The mist of thought had crystallized, and it could not be changed. It was the unalterable act. His fantasy had become fact. It was a fate accomplished. The moment the deed was done, it was history. Thought had passed through the nexus, and by the lever of the will became the action, indelibly stamped on Akasha. Dictation by Beloved Kuthumi on Akasha. It is an extreme pleasure, a joy that you cannot conceive, yet conceive within your feelings that are bound by karma of the earth to greet hearts and souls and spirits who have stood at inner levels at night and who have pledged their life to the service of the souls of men. Deep within the recesses of our hearts, written on the records of Akasha, are the vows that the earnest souls make to the masters and the calls. When in a gathering similar to the one this day, they are privileged to see a little of the vision and desire and design of God. And they, in the enthusiasm of that free inner body, choose to consecrate and dedicate their life energies to forwarding that cause and bringing the souls of men to understanding and illumination. The angelic kingdom. Beloved Elmoria conveyed to us all that the angelic hosts, through association with mankind in the elemental kingdom, were promised that they, in time, might attain the estate of the archangels and become guardian powers in systems of worlds yet unborn from the consciousness of future solar lords. When the elemental kingdoms had prepared and nourished the earth element with produce and beauty, and the angelic kingdom had filled its atmosphere with the stimulating essence of the godliness, the planet was ready for the beautiful ceremony by which mankind was welcomed to the hospitality of a new theater of evolution, filled with the opportunity, promise, beauty, and plenty. And then the descent of man into the world of form took place, a ceremony whose remembrance is written for all eternity on the sensitive substance of Akasha. That sensitive substance of Akasha, which will be revitalized and revivified one day for the enjoyment and education of all mankind. The Godhead charged the directed ray into the permanent atom, which was to be the magnetic power holding the life streams destined to evolve upon the planet within its orbit. The great nature divas of every mountain see and plan vivified the life wave through the abundant, verdant gifts of nature, awaiting the coming of man. The angelic host stood visible and tangible upon the surface of the earth, looking upward as the gates of heaven opened in the first ray. In a burst of celestial music, adorned the heavens with its lovely azure blue, and then formed a radiant pathway from the heart of the sun to the planet Earth, over which the first sons of men might and dignity descend into incarnation. Akasha's gift to humanity. Akasha and Asun are offering us a gentle remembrance that each of us has a higher self that lives in higher realms of light and perfection. They call our higher self the beloved I Am Presence. They say this is the real guardian angel that some have been gifted to see standing above the human form. Akasha shows us how to make contact with and enter into a loving relationship with our higher intelligence, and how to open the way for all its love and perfection, divine plan, and higher purpose expressing in our daily lives. Akasha and Asun shows us how to call forth the love and perfection of our higher self, and that this is the aspect of our self that sacred scripture refers to when it says that man is made in the image and likeness of God Source. They show us how to make contact with the angels and the ascended host to draw forth their light and loving assistance into our lives. This ultimately gives us our freedom from limitation, guides us to live a more meaningful life, and prepares us for a life well lived, a crowning moment of enlightenment and the achievement of the ultimate goal of human life, the ascension. Akasha reminds us of the true power and blessings of meditation, offering us powerful meditation techniques that allow each of us to experience the love of our heart and soul. Instead of living with a concept of God, she speaks of the Master Jesus as an ascended master and the gift, the great gift he gave humanity, and of the existence of other ascended beings who too are ministering to humanity and earth at this time. Asun helps us, each of us, to live the knowledge that Akasha offers us. As our beloved Akasha is charming and loving and yet serious in the knowledge she provides us, Asun comes to us with great humor and has a real sense and compassion of the challenges we face in our daily lives. Some of the benefits and knowledge we can receive and experience through Akasha and Asun's events includes the power of choice and desire, secrets of manifestation, the reality of angels, creating abundance, the Holy Spirit, your higher self, the true miracle of healing and healing modalities, regaining lost will, knowledge of the ascended masters and how they can help you, reincarnation, power of attention, creative visualization, and about the incoming golden age that is intended to lift humanity into much greater light, greater love, greater awareness and purpose. They speak of the power of becoming sovereign, achieving lasting peace of mind, mastering our thoughts and feelings, what it is like to live in right use of will, and how to attain it. They offer means of gaining your health back, the fountain of youth, and the nature of the soul. These great beings from the great central sun of our universe have become or have come during this seventh dispensation to the earth to usher in the seventh golden age for humanity, which will bring to the earth Saint Germain's utilization of the alchemy, being able to transmute all wrong desires into positive desires. Transmutation and transformation of the four lower bodies from bad to good, dark to light, and negativity to positivity, and bringing forth these changes in human expression can be assured that all of humanity will make the effort to change the course of evolution and usher in the new permanent golden age. This is the end of our beautiful enchanting message for you. I hope that you all have received an abundance of knowledge and education from this message. The sound, the color, the word Om, Om, all of this Akasha brings to us is more than anyone could ever have thought or known. The Akashic records are benevolent ancient records that help the planet. And whenever you have an intuition that brings forth Akasha, whenever you say Om, Amen, Hallelujah, just think of Om, Omni, Padmi, Hom, and feel its vibratory action and waves that are helping your body temple to align and attune itself with our beloved Akasha. Meditate, meditate, meditate to welcome in this pure divine essence now into your being, into your world, into all of your affairs each day. We are upon the permanent golden age of humanity. So let us welcome this experience as we honor our Christ light, our Christhood, in developing that which we need to sustain our bodies. And I hope that you will just take advantage of this great knowing. This is Tammy Dennis Elma Swab signing off. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Adonai Sabaoth. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Adonai Destiny. the open door. God bless you all. Namaste. Peace be with you and upon you. Love and light to you all. Almighty I am. Almighty I am. Almighty I am. We thank you so much. Throughout this time, I've had the birds visit me while I'm on my in the studio, actually looking out the window. The birds are visiting. I got the blue jay, the cardinals, the red robin. All of the birds are visiting me at this current time. So I just thank you all. God bless you all. So we just want to thank you for always supporting our beloved Destiny, the open door. God bless you all.